Welcome everyone tonight to our Wednesday night service. And we hope you've had a wonderful week so far this week. I know it's been a busy week and for many people. And this evening, well, it's coming to a close for the night. But so glad to have you join us, Calvary, tonight. And possibly some friends and family joining us on our Facebook Live service tonight. And I do want to say right off the top tonight that we need to be praying for our land, praying for our nation. And as many of you know, I'm sure that you turn on the television set and it's all there. And a lot of things are happening this evening. And we're praying for God to give us all a hedge of protection, but at the same time praying for God's will to be done. And we are trusting in the Lord. You know, people may fail you, a nation may fail you, but God will never fail you or myself. And so we can glory in that. We can boast in that God will never fail us. And so we're rejoicing tonight in that fact that though the mountains be removed, as a dear friend of mine texted me a verse in Psalms today, though the mountains be removed and though the seas may roar, our God is faithful. He is our refuge. And so we're so very thankful for that tonight. And but we will indeed pray for our nation and pray for our land and for God's will to be done. Tonight I want to mention a few people like we do on Wednesday nights, but this evening I want to bring us up to speed on a few prayer requests, a few folks that we've been requesting prayer for. As many of you know, we left the post yesterday that Brother Arnold McCrickard, he made it through his surgery just fine, and had that kidney removed, that cancerous kidney. I spoke with Miss Emily, and she was thrilled of that, of course. And but Brother Arnold, he'll be, I guess, about 4 days, maybe a little less, remaining in the hospital as he recovers from this surgery. But please remember, continue to remember him along with Miss Emily in your prayers and their family. I spoke with Miss Jenny Clanton today, and she's hanging in there. She's doing okay. She's getting ready for another doctor's appointment, and so she requested prayer for that. And also her husband Jimmy, he has shingles, and so he's having a tough time with those shingles. And so if we could lift up Miss Jenny and of course Jimmy with his shingles, that would be a blessing to them, I know. And so let's lift them up together in prayer. We're praising the Lord. I believe it was Sunday night. Miss Dolores Palmer had mentioned, responded in our service time there on Facebook that I believe our granddaughters and family members have recovered from COVID and are on their mends and on the road to healing. And so we praise the Lord for that, rejoicing in that at the same time. Miss Mary Rich is tested negative. That was a week ago, I believe, give or take a day or two. And but she's still, from what Miss Lee Ellen has said recently, that her taste and smell is not there yet. Of course, we know that sometimes that kind of lingers, from what we hear of those who've had COVID, that that symptom lingers for a while. But the good Lord willing, we're praying for you, Miss Mary, that you get that taste and smell back. There's nothing like tasting good food, food in general at this point. And so praying for you, praying for, let's continue to remember Brother Allen and Miss Terry Clayton. Brother Allen and his Bell's palsy, but also their son Robbie, which has COVID. Let's pray for him, as we mentioned on Sunday. And continue to remember the children's home, that the Lord will keep them safe during this time, and school and all of that. I know is back in session this week. Some are starting tomorrow, and a lot have already started. So we're remembering all of our children at the children's home and our staff members there. We appreciate them. Let's remember Don and Carla Rich in Peru. Continue to remember Lauren and Rhett Hancock and her mother, Patty. Remembering her in prayer. Ceylon and Catherine Plemons, her mother Marge. James and Shirley Townsend should be getting close to Miss Shirley having time for a PET scan or results of a PET scan here pretty soon from the cancer spot on her lung. And so we're praying for them. Jim and Don Daly, spoke with Brother Jim today, and he's hanging in there. He's, of course, having some breathing issues. He's not at full capacity. And so, church, I ask you to pray for, lift up Brother Jim in your prayers tonight. Miss Dawn, Jim Jr., the Ashworths, all of their family, let's please remember them. You know, not being able to breathe and then this virus that's everywhere, that can call for a big struggle. If anything else, a mental struggle, hoping that you don't get it. And so let's just remember those who can't breathe that well outside of this virus. So we're praying for the Dailies tonight. And let's continue to remember the Teagues and Larry, Connie, and Christy, but Miss Connie's brother Bill. Let's remember Claudia Darby, Don Capistrano, Cheryl Millwood, and her sister in her recovery and her family. Barbara Anderson down at the Powder Springs Rehab Center. Let's remember her. Rusty and Chris Watkins. Continue to remember Harold Doff in your prayers. Just not doing all that well. He was here this past Sunday, but he needs your prayers. Joe Lynn Vandiver, Miss Lynn's friend who has COVID. Joe's sister-in-law, Charlotte, who's battling cancer. Randy Ely and his mother who has dementia. Diane Ely, her brother that has cancer. Ed and Marianne Sandy. And let's remember their whole family. They have lost a few family members and friends due to COVID. So let's remember them and Brother Ed and his speech as he continues to get better. Miss Marianne as his dear wife. Jeff and Sharon Hodges, let's remember their son-in-law Chris. Cassie Kronovich and Gerald and Francis Carroll. Again, Miss Dolores and Brother Leonard Palmer in our prayers. Eddie and Joanne Rich, Ashley, Aiden, Bentley, Eli, all of our shut-ins, James Tolan Brown, our friend Kim Merritt over at Pleasant Hill. And again tonight, let's just remember our nation. Let's remember our world. We are certainly living in the last days. We know it's been the last days from Paul's day, but it has been getting worse and worse and worse. It's hard to bury your head in the sand, not that we are, but it's hard to ignore what's going on today in our time frame, in our world. It's hard to ignore that. But the Lord has promised us, His church, that we are safe from the wrath to come. The church will not be here during the seven-year tribulation period. The Lord Jesus Christ will descend from heaven, and He will call us out of here. And so I'm looking for that tonight. Listen, the more ugly this thing gets in this world with the pandemic and politics and all of these other things, I am welcoming His coming tonight, and I know you are as well. But nonetheless, we are safe, church, from the wrath to come. We don't know how bad it will get before we get out of here. But these are telltale indications. These are earmarks. What's taking place that Jesus is getting ready to come for His bride. And so I'm looking forward to that wedding day in heaven and to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I'm looking forward to that new heaven and that new earth. And things will get back to the way they were before Adam and Eve messed them up. I'm looking forward to that. And I know you are too. And so tonight, let's pray. And one more thing, let's continue to remember Greg Smith His father, Lloyd Smith, in the hospital, congestive heart failure. And so let's remember him. Let's remember our church. Let's remember all of our missionaries tonight. And again, appreciate Brother Don and Sister Carla and the work that God has been having them do in Peru. We love you. Love all of our missionaries. And tonight, we'll pray to that end. Father, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're thankful and we're blessed for so many years to have been able to live in the land of the free because of the brave. But Father, tonight it breaks our heart to see a divided nation, Lord, a divided states. For so long it's been a United States. Oh, there's been struggles here and there. There's been struggle of power and, you know, there's been all of those things down through the years. But we have enjoyed such peace in America. But today it's different, Lord. Today it's divided. Today it's about power and ego and all of those things, Lord. It's about the pocketbook. It's about what's in it for me and my, dear Lord. And righteousness, Lord, seemingly has been forgotten about. But Father, tonight your church calls upon you. Father, we call upon you as Habakkuk called upon you in the Old Testament. Lord, how he's seen all the lawlessness taking place. And Father, at one time he prayed that, Lord, that you would take care of them, that you would deal with them, Lord, and let righteousness reign. But by the end of the book of Habakkuk in chapter 3, Habakkuk prayed, Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. In your wrath, remember mercy. And so, Father, we don't know how bad it will get. We do know that before your wrath comes, that mercy will be our case, Lord. We will be out of here, but in your wrath, remember mercy, Lord. Protect all of those who have called upon you for salvation, Lord. Let us continue our ministries as God's children, preaching and teaching the Word in these last days, Lord. We want to be faithful to the finish. Lord, we want to be your mouthpiece, God. We want to tell people about Jesus. And Lord, we want to be back in your house. But Father, it seems like that is getting further and further from our reach, Lord. But tonight, I'm thankful that, Father, we're united in spirit by the new birth. And Lord, I pray that in these last days that you would use us for your honor and for your glory, God. If it be your will that we all come back to church one day, when there's no virus and no thing along those lines, God, then let it be. If not, Lord, and if it takes a while, or Facebook and media is the way you choose until you come, Lord, let us keep our hand to the plow and no looking back. Father, we thank you for those you've touched in our church. Lord, I pray that you would be with those who need a touch, Lord. Be with those who have cancer. Lord, be with those where COVID has been. And Lord, I pray that you'll just touch everyone on our prayer list we prayed for, we mentioned tonight. Lord, we're marching under your banner. But Father, I pray that you'll be with us tonight. Use the message to be a blessing to your people. Bless Calvary Baptist Church. We thank you for Calvary and the cross thereof that made a way for salvation, Lord. We love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you again. Be with us tonight and days ahead in our nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I hope that you'll stay with us tonight. And I know there's a lot going on this evening as far as the news and what's happening in our land. But my prayer is that you'll just take a break from that just for a few moments, and see what God may have for you this evening. Tonight, we're going to be in the book of Numbers. Numbers, chapter number 14. The book of Numbers tonight, chapter number 14. And I want to focus, or at least use one verse as our text verse, our launching pad, our introductory verse tonight to the message, to the lesson. And that is verse number 24. Numbers chapter number 14 in verse number 24. Notice what the Bible says. But my servant, Caleb, because he had another spirit within him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Tonight I want to call your attention to one phrase in this verse. And the phrase has to do with the kind of spirit that the Lord said that Caleb had. And that is, he says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. He said that Caleb had another spirit. Now, that just simply means he had a different spirit about himself. Another word for another is different. Another word for spirit can be the word life. And tonight we see from this particular verse that God said that Caleb had different life within him. We know that the remainder part of this verse said that, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, notice this, and hath followed me fully. Caleb had such a devoted spirit to God that he followed him fully. He had a different spirit. He had different life on the inside of him. Meaning not something other than the Spirit of God, of course, but he just had, Caleb had a fervor about himself. He had a passion to follow God all the way to the finish line. He had another spirit. And so he followed the Lord fully. And I want to say that Caleb followed the Lord fully in spite of obstacles. Caleb followed the Lord fully in spite of being a minority. Caleb was the minority. And we'll get into that in just a moment about the spies and all, but Caleb, he followed the Lord fully in spite of being the minority. He followed the Lord fully in spite of the obstacles he faced. Caleb, the Bible says, had another spirit. I mean, he had a fervent spirit. Caleb stood out from all of the rest. He was a cut above the rest. He had another spirit. He had a different spirit. He possessed different life on the inside of him. He wanted to finish well his race. He wanted to finish fully. Now, I want you to notice, in the conclusion of this verse, there was a blessing connected to following the Lord fully. Notice in verse 24 again, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, notice this, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Church, tonight you know as well as I know that the blessings of God follow obedience. God's blessings follow obedience. I mean, look, following Him the best we can, trying to abound in our Christian life, surpass the normal, surpass the regular, trying to abound, trying to excel in our Christianity, being obedient to God, striving for Him, reading His Word, and praying, and yielding to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says when we do those things, the blessings of God will follow. And we see that here in this verse, that Caleb, he had another spirit, and he followed the Lord fully. And because of that, God blessed his life. Now, of course, we're not saying that trouble won't come. And does not mean that obstacles won't be in the way, because we're getting ready to see that in just a moment. I mean, we all are going through obstacles and troubles as we speak at this current time in our world. But it's just something about going after God wholeheartedly. It's something about wanting and desiring to possess this other spirit, this difference, this spirit of excellence, this spirit of passion and having zeal for God and going after Him in spite of obstacles and in spite of being the minority, really. Tonight I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, the resilience of Caleb. The resilience of Caleb. Caleb was a man who was resilient. And of course we know that the word resilient means the ability to overcome or remain steadfast. It means the capacity to recover. Listen to this. The capacity to recover quickly from difficulty. It's also through the idea, this word resilient, it's through the idea of elasticity. Elasticity. Being able to be stretched without breaking. Or being movable, being pliable, being stretched. And I believe it's needless to say tonight that those of us of Christian faith, and because of what we stand for, we've been stretched lately. We're being stretched even now. And really, you know, when you break it down and look at it, everyone has been stretched, regardless if you're saved or not, through this pandemic and through the economy and through things along those lines. We've all been stretched lately. But that word resilient, I believe tonight, it describes the person whose mind and heart is set on things above. Not that you don't experience difficulty, but that you're trusting in the sufficiency of God and you're able to continue on in the midst of difficulty. In church, I'll say it tonight. The closer we get to the Lord's return, the more difficult it's going to get. I mean, the more even it could possibly get dangerous. But we're not people of fear. We're not going to fear what man can do unto us. We're not going to fear those things. We're going to draw a line in the sand and we're going to stand back on God's side and be in His corner. He's in our corner. We're in His corner. And we're going to draw a line in the sand of righteousness and we're not going to cross that line and drinking what a lot of people said, the Kool-Aid of liberalism. We're not going to do that. But I'm afraid we're getting close to a time when we are called upon to make that stand that we will have to choose which side we're really on. And that's when there's a price to pay for your Christianity. Back in Bible days, and we read it all through the pages of God's Word, there was battle over faith and martyrdom. Those were martyred for the Christian faith. And we're not trying to present fear. We're not trying to instill fear. But we're trying to sound the trumpet tonight. We're trying to make clear that things are really, really, for the most part, they're not after our favor. All right? We're not surprised, but they're getting bad. But yet we know the end of the book. We know that it's going to be trouble on top of trouble, sorrow on top of sorrow. We know that the love of many will wax worse and worse. And all of those things wrapped up. You know, there's going to be a time where we're going to have to take a stand. And I am afraid that time where we will have to pay the price is getting very close. But church, let us stand. Let us stand. Tonight, I want to look at Caleb for a few moments. And I want to look at his resilience. Because we can be resilient like Caleb was in the day and time in which we live, in the day and time in which we stand. Number one, I want you to notice tonight about the resilience of Caleb. Caleb was resilient during a challenging time. He was resilient during a challenging time. And we know that. Those of you that read the Bible have heard much preaching and teaching know exactly what Caleb and the others were going through during this particular time. Look at chapter number 13 and verse 25. We know that the 12 spies came back from Canaan land And we know that Caleb was one of those spies. We know Joshua was the other. And then there were 10 others along with them. Now, in verse number 25, the Bible says, "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Verse 26, there's a phrase about three quarters of the way through that says, "And brought back word unto them." Verse number 27 says, "And they told him." Now, this particular part is speaking of the ten. "And they told him," speaking the men, the ten, told Moses, "and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Look at verse number 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak." And here he's referring to the race of giants. Verse 29, "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." Look at verse 31. We'll come back to verse 30. "But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof." All right. "And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." We see tonight that Caleb, he was a man that was resilient. God said he had another spirit, and Caleb was resilient during a challenging time. Now, we see a mixed report given here. The ten said, "We're not able." I read you the verses. Verse number 28, he says, "Oh, the city is strong and it's walled and very great." He said, "There's giants in the land." He said, we're not able, verse 31, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." We have a mixed report here. First, it was from the ten that said, "We're not able, there's giants in the land." He also said that we feel like we're grasshoppers. We feel so small, like we're grasshoppers. The only good thing that those ten said were that there were grapes in the land. Back in verse number 23, down in the brook of Ishcol, there was a cluster of grapes, and they brought it back. And so this mixed report had to do with grapes, and had to do with giants, had to do with grasshoppers. And these ten said, based upon what the obstacle was to go in and having to fight and take their land back, while they were negative with it. They were negative with it. They said that we're not strong enough, and so we see that they were looking to their self for resources. But there was another side to this report. There was another side. What was that other side? Well, that other side had to do with Caleb, and had to do with Joshua. And that leads me to my second point. Not only Caleb was resilient during a challenging time, it was a mixed report. 10 of them had to do with being negative. We know that Caleb, he gave a positive report. So it was obstacles, it was giants, and those, they felt like they were grasshoppers. And so it was a challenging time. But number two, Caleb was resilient because of his God. Caleb was resilient during a challenging time, but Caleb was resilient because of his God. The others, notice this, and I was right on the heels of it, my first point. The others were looking toward themselves for sufficiency, but Caleb was looking to God. Again, verse number 28, I want to reiterate. Verse number 28, nevertheless, these others said. They were being negative. Nevertheless. They mentioned the grapes, but now they're mentioning their own insufficiency. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak. And so verse 28, there is a nevertheless. Well, Lord, we know that you've given us that land, but nevertheless. And how many times do we fall into that trap? God, we know that you have begotten us again unto a lively hope. We know you're coming for us. We know we have an inheritance that fadeth not away, that's incorruptible, reserved in heaven for us. We know all those things, Lord. But Lord, we have giants in our life. We have these situations that are taking place. We have struggles on the inside. We have our current problem in America and in our world. You see, it's easy to get our eyes off the Lord, all right? And it's easy to get our eyes on our problems. I'm not telling you something you don't already know. But it bears to be repeated. In verse number 28, nevertheless. In verse number 31, he says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse number 33, he says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And so we see that that they had this negative report. It was a challenging time, and the 10 of them felt that way. They felt like they were grasshoppers. They felt like they were so small. They were looking to themselves for sufficiency. The same thing, the same kind of circuit we all go through as we mature in the Lord. We try to live our life and we try to move forward. We try to overcome personal battles. We try to enjoy our salvation. And the struggle gets in the way at times. And many times there is big struggle when we're looking to ourselves to overcome our struggles. You see. And regardless, any way you look at it, there is struggle, but there's more struggle when we look to ourselves for sufficiency. And so they said in verse number 33, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Let me ask a question tonight, church. Do you feel small? I mean, contrasted to the battles you face and contrasted to the devil and all these other things in life that we battle with, do you feel small? Well, in one sense, we do feel small. But really and realistically, we are not small. If we're saved and we are in Jesus, our life is hid with Christ in God, and we have an ability to overcome. It's not about our sufficiency. It's not about really feeling small. It's about really feeling big. We have Jesus on the inside. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. But these 10 here, they felt as though they were grasshoppers. I want to tell you tonight, church, we're not grasshoppers. We're not grasshoppers. God's children are not grasshoppers. We're not an insect tonight. But we are blood-bought, born-again believers who Jesus is our influence. He is our sufficiency. And we can be resilient in the day and time in which we live. And so we see that Caleb was resilient because of his God. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8 of chapter, well, first, chapter 13, verse 30. We're in chapter 13. Notice verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are not only able, but well able to overcome it." How about that? That's that spirit of excellence. That's that resilient Caleb. That's the one that God was bragging on. And he had another spirit about himself. And he said, not only are we able, but we are well able. He says, let us go up at once and possess it. And I will say that before leaving the house, I watched the news for just a second. And we have some patriots in Washington's capital this afternoon, this evening. We have some patriots there. And we have some patriotism from the right side, Republicans, that is rising to the surface this evening. And kind of like that spirit of Caleb, they're saying, let us go up at once. Not really sure what they're going to do when they get there, but nonetheless, they have that spirit of patriotism and passion, the Republican side does. But Caleb said, let us go up at once. We are well able to overcome it. Chapter number 14, verse number 8 and 9. Notice in verse number 8, these are the words of Caleb. Says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Did you hear that? Neither fear ye the people of the land. There's all kinds of people, even today, tonight, from the other side that are trying to create fear. And but Caleb says, don't let the people fear. Fear ye the people. Fear not ye. Neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us, Caleb speaking. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Tonight, let us have the spirit of Caleb. Let us have a resilient attitude, a resilient spirit. Let us be filled with God. Let us move forward in faith, not back it up into fear, not being in neutral, none of those things like that, but let us move forward in faith and be like Caleb. Caleb is saying here that his God is with them. Notice, if you would, verse number 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. You believe that? They wanted to stone them. They wanted to stone them for doing what is right and for going in the sufficiency of the Lord to battle. Are we not experiencing that right now today? Trying to do what's right as a nation and people as a nation wanting to stone those who are after righteousness. And from Bible day to our day is what he says in verse number 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. How about that? The glory of the Lord appeared. And listen, I'm saying tonight that we have God on our side. We will not fear what man can do unto us, will try to do unto us. He is our refuge. He's our tower. And so we are moving forward with that in our hearts and our minds. And we know that the Lord will be with us. His glory will overshadow us. Tonight we see that Caleb was resilient because of his God. Caleb was resilient during a challenging time. That mixed report. There's grapes. There's giants. There's grasshoppers. but yet there was negativity from the other side. And so tonight I want to mention one more thing and then we'll bring it to a close. Not only those things, but because of Caleb's resilience, he continued with longevity. Because he was resilient, he continued. Look in chapter number 14, verse number 38. Notice what the Bible says. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, listen to this, lived still. They were still living. I want to say that positivity can contribute to length of life. We see that played out in the life of Caleb, at least in these chapters. Caleb was positive. We can. We are able to. The Lord is with us. And now we see in verse 38 of chapter 14 that Caleb and Joshua lived still. They lived still. Listen, tonight I'm not saying that I never feel the spirit of negativity. You know, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that positivity has to be intentional. I preached on that this past Sunday. Positivity has to be intentional. Sunday morning I preached. We have to be intentional every day that we wake up, that we are going to believe the Lord, that we're going to take things day by day, that we're going to trust Him, that we know that we're safe from wrath to come. We know He's our provider. We have to be intentional. Positivity comes by and through being intentional. It's not just going to happen because there's so much going on. It's easy to fall into a negative mindset. But I want you to be encouraged tonight, church, that the Lord is on our side. We're on His side. That at the right time, He's coming for us. But in the meantime, we will serve Him. In the meantime, we will hide ourselves under His wings. And we will allow Him to shine through us during these dark days. And my challenge to all of us tonight is to just adopt that spirit of resilience. In spite of difficulty, during challenging times. And we can do that because of our God. And we can be steadfast, we can be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Tonight we'll be cutting it a little short this evening, but that's the message, the resilience of Caleb, and I hope it was a blessing to you. Father, we love You, we thank You, we praise You for who You are. We praise You, Lord, for the things that You're doing. Father, we take our refuge in You. Lord, we hide in You. I pray, Lord, that You'll take the words from my mouth and use them for the edifying of the saints. Lord, I pray that You would reign supremely. We know You are. But Lord, protect Your church during this time in which we live, and we'll praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the good Lord willing, we'll be back in person this coming up Sunday at 11 a.m., and you make that call whether you should be here or not. We are certainly understanding, and it's between you and the Lord anyway. But if you do choose to come, we are asking that you wear a mask. We have some here at the church, and it's not mandatory. It's just encouraged. So understand that. Nothing mandatory, just encouraged. We love you, church. Take care, and God bless. We'll see you, Lord willing, this coming up Sunday.